listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudette. Many Idahoans are familiar with a few basics when it comes to Ernest Hemingway and his ties to Idaho. Maybe the celebrities, the promotion of the new Sun Valley Resort, maybe his love of hunting, or that he died by suicide at his home along the Big Wood River. And that is likely where most people's knowledge ends. However, the folks at Idaho Public Television decided to dig a little bit deeper, and the end result? A new documentary titled Idaho's Hemingway. It explores his time in the Gem State from 1939 until his death in 1961. And joining us today to talk more are Bill Manny with IPTV and Jenny M. Emery Davidson, the executive director at the Community Library in Ketchum. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, glad to be here.
So, Bill, let's start with the documentary itself, because this really came from a broader story that's being made about Hemingway. Can you talk to us about Ken Burns and what he's doing?
Yes. Ken Burns is doing the typical Ken Burns treatment. So it's 6 hours over three nights, airing April 5th, 6th, and 7th. And when we first heard that Ken Burns was working on a Ernest Hemingway show, we decided this was a great opportunity to do the Idaho story. And so working with the folks at the community library in Ketchum, we started trying to tell the Idaho story, and this is the result.
And Jenny, Hemingway, I would say, is a bit of a native son to the area. Why do you think there's such a draw to him in Sun Valley?
Hemingway does continue to exude a really remarkable charisma. And I think it's for many different reasons. His literature endures and draws people perpetually from kids who are just now, you know, reading The Old Man and the Sea in school, to people who are returning to A Movable Feast, which has been I think particularly in the public eye in recent years, because it has seemed to speak to current events. When Notre Dame burned in Paris, people were reading A Movable Feast. I mean, it just has had some special resonance in recent years. So I think his literature endures, and I always want to return to his written word, because that is really what he built his life around. And then here in the Sun Valley area, Hemingway came here for two decades. He came and spent significant time. And while certainly his initial trip here was spurred by publicity for Sun Valley, and he certainly was a part of the world of glamour that has always been a part of Sun Valley's history, he also just really seemed to find refuge and sanctuary in the people who made a home here, from Shoshone to Salmon. He traveled around this area, went hunting, returned to farms in the South Central Idaho area to hunt year after year. So I think he really became a part of the lived landscape for a lot of locals here. And that is compelling. I feel like there's a sense of affinity for him because of his repeated returns here and his friendships that really persisted.
So Bill, so many places claim Hemingway as their own, right? I mean, Paris, when he was younger, and the cafes there and the expats that he hung out with. That's when he was married to his first wife, Hadley, right? And then you go to Key West, and there's his home in Key West where you can tour, and this is when he was married to his second wife, Cuba. I know a lot about Hemingway because my husband is a Hemingway fan, so I actually know him a little bit more than the average person. But why do you think his connection to Idaho is different than these other places?
Well, what I discovered in working on this, and Jenny is the expert probably, but, Hemingway was such a competitive person, and he left kind of a, everywhere he went, he was kind of a circus, and he was the ringmaster, and he had all these friends around him, and he really didn't like to be alone, and he really liked to be the center of attention, but he also was very competitive, and he made a lot of enemies, and he alienated a lot of people. But when he was in Idaho, he was not competitive. He was not the writer. He was just another guy. And I think the friendships he made in Idaho and the relationship he had to the people and to the land and then to the house is different than almost anywhere else. And even though he left kind of a trail of scorched friends and broken relationships around the world, everybody in Sun Valley remembers him so fondly. And so the other thing that's interesting is all those other places you mentioned, Key West and Illinois and, you know, Cuba and even in Arkansas, those places are all kind of shrines and museums. And in Idaho, that house is different. It's a refuge for writers and scholars. And the way that the community library has kind of taken on and nurtured that reputation and that house is different than anywhere else in the world.
Actually, let's listen to a clip in regards to that from the documentary about the house itself.
Something that we find really touching about the collection of objects that this house holds is how a lot of them seem to have been treated with a degree of familiarity. You know, these things like the watercolor by Dorothy Shakespeare, the paintings by Waldo Pierce that remain unframed, like the books inscribed by Archibald MacLeish and Thornton Wilder that are just set on the shelf. These are things that he carried with him from Paris to Key West to Cuba to Ketchum. And so they really seem to bear witness to the friendships, the relationships that he held close.
So Jenny, the library actually owns the Hemingway House. So talk to us, as Bill mentioned, how this space is used now, because it isn't a museum like his home in Key West is, for example.
No, it's not. You know, we continue to think a lot about how best to honor Hemingway's legacy here, because it's complicated, right? It's not all pure romance. He was a complicated person, and we want to wrestle with the whole of him and the whole of his literary work. And so we don't feel like it's appropriate to make the house a spectacle. It is the location where he died. It is the place that he returned to when he was having to leave Cuba under some duress because of the political situation there. It is the place where his widow, Mary Hemingway, continued to make a home for another 25 years, splitting her time between Ketchum and New York until her own death in 1986. And she herself, in her papers, said that she wanted the house to be preserved as a nature reference library, which is really, I think, an evocative phrase for us to think about how to treat that space as a nature reference library. So we have, first of all, a lot of historic research to continue to do there, a lot of preservation work to do there. And so we have developed a program working with graduate students and college students through a fellowship program to do that research, to make sure that we are taking care of the house itself and the materials it holds appropriately, responsibly into the future. And then we have launched a writer in residence program there. So we have renovated one portion of the house, what had been the garage, into a nicely appointed residency studio, and inviting writers in all different genres, writers of all different backgrounds, to come there and to enjoy an allowance of time and space to continue to generate creative work and do outreach here in Central Idaho while they are here. And I think that is what we are finding to be the most powerful use of that house, is to really treat it like a home, as a home that shelters creative work, that's embedded in this spectacular landscape of Central Idaho and in a community that values telling stories and wants to encourage that work into the future.
And Bill, I want to know how folks can watch the documentary, but there's also some other things coming up, right, that people can participate in outside of the documentary.
Yeah, I started calling this the Hemingway Spring at Idaho Public TV. We have we had an event with Ken Burns that Jenny hosted a conversation with him earlier in the month. We have an event with Jenny with a couple other scholars and writers in residence on March 25th at 6 p.m. And you can register for that at idahoptv.org. We've also got a virtual tour of the house that Jenny and her colleague Mary hosted that you can go and watch. You can actually get a guided tour of the house. And then of course there's the documentary itself, which is now streaming at idahoptv.org. So if you search for Hemingway at our website, you can find our documentary there.
I want to thank both of you for taking time out of your day to talk to us about this. We've been talking with Bill Manny with Idaho Public Television and Jenny Emery Davidson, the executive director at the Community Library in Ketchum, talking about Ernest Hemingway and the new documentary out by IPTV titled Idaho's Hemingway.